at all the pleasures of life, where you'll get all the fishing and fowling, and a bonnie wee lass for your wife. Oh, it's down where yon waters run muddy, I'm afraid they will never run clear, and it's when I begin for to study, my mind is on them that's not here. For there's this one and that one may court him, but if anyone gets him but me, it's early and late I will curse them, that parted lovely Willie from me. Oh, a father, he calls on his daughter, two choices I'll give unto thee. Would you rather see Will is a ship a-sailing, or see him hung like a dog from yon tree? Oh, father, dear father, I love him, I can no longer hide it from thee. Through an acre of fire I would travel, along with lovely Willie to be. Oh, it's hard was the heart that confined her, and took from her her heart's delight. May the chains of old Ireland bind around them, and soft be their pillows at night. Yonder's a ship on the ocean, and she does not know which way to steer. From the east to the west she's a-blowing, she reminds me on the charms of my dear. Oh, yonder my Willie will be coming, he said he'd be here in the spring, and it's down by yon green shades I'll meet him, and among yon green bushes we'll sing. For a fruit that he left on my doorstep, saying, love, bear this in your mind, if ever I sail from old Ireland, you'll mind I'll not leave you behind. Farewell to you, bonny Kells water, where you get all the pleasures of life, where you'll get all the fishing and fowling, and the bonny wee lass for your wife.
Farewell to Kells Water, that was, and we heard the voice of Andy Irvine singing. He was also playing bass bouzouki, and Luke Plum was playing mandolin. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. Welcome to the music show. Welcome back to the music show, Andy. It's been far, far too long.
Thank you, Andrew. It has been a long time.
Tell us a little about that song.
Well, it's a song from County Antrim, and the thing is that back in the early 19th century, if you were a girl from a fairly well-to-do family and your father didn't care for the boy that you'd selected, he would buy him a one-way ticket to America and he'd never be seen again because he'd never get enough money to get back home again. But that song is very hopeful in the end. I'm not sure that he actually comes and gets her, but it does say he's not going to leave without her. So we hope that they had a happy and a long life together.
We do indeed. It's an old Planxty song, isn't it?
You've been
singing that for a very long time.
I have.
And it prompts me to ask if you don't mind us doing a little bit of history here. You know, that plus the fact that in the time since we last spoke, you turned 70.
Yes, I did it. Yes, 4 years ago.
Jesus.
Let's go back to your beginnings in terms of your being drawn to music. I was a bit surprised to learn that it was as much as anything Woody Guthrie who did this for you.
Well, it was indeed. I was like Luke. I was learning classical music on the guitar, and I had lessons from Julian Bream, or I had one or two.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. Yeah, but not too many because I kept turning up at his flat, and there'd be a sign in the window saying, "Sorry, Andy, I forgot I had a concert tonight in Berlin or something." So I got a bit tired of kind of going on the bus with my guitar and arriving to find that he was once again not available. But I kept that up for a while, and then I discovered Lonnie Donegan and Skiffle, and from there I discovered Woody Guthrie. And as soon as I heard Woody, the very first groove of the first LP that I put on, I was hooked. And I've been hooked ever since.
And what hooked you? Do you know, was it the sound of his voice, which was pretty distinctive, or was it the songs themselves?
No, it was the way he did them. The sound of his voice, as you say, was dusty Oklahoma accent. But that first record was with Cisco Houston, and the two of them were singing Columbus Stockade, and it just, it hit the spot. And I never looked back from there.
Yes. I mean, Woody Guthrie obviously wrote a lot of his own songs, but there's a kind of a line straight back into traditional music there as well. And I guess the same could be said of you.
Well, yes, I write my own stuff and I sing traditional songs, yeah.
But do you make a big distinction between the two? I mean, there are purists who say, you know, that folk music is the music of the folk, the music that we don't know where it comes from exactly or who wrote it, and it's ancient and anonymous, and that everything else is sort of music in a folk idiom and ersatz. I mean, do you think that it's of a piece?
I do, yes. I mean, yeah, folk music is the kind of catch-all phrase that we use to describe ourselves. I'm not sure what it means or whether I would be kind of within it or not. You know, I started writing songs because I was in love with girls endlessly when I was a young man, and so I wrote a whole series of heartbreaking songs. And then I decided there were a lot of people in this world who had lived and died and had done really good things and were not as well known as they should be. And there were no songs about them. So I commenced to writing songs about people that I was attracted to for what they had done for humanity, basically.
Which is another sort of lesson from Woody Guthrie, I suppose, isn't it?
I think it is, yes. I think he did that, of course, and I've been following Woody for 60-odd years now, so it's too late to change, and he's not going to change.
No, indeed he's not, but maybe we need some more people like him. I mean, the political times that we're in a sense, are grist to the folk singer's mill, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they should be. Back in the 60s and the 70s, a lot of folk singers, in inverted commas, were singing protest songs. And in fact, maybe too many. There were too many protest songs. And And it kind of fell out of fashion. And they're not doing it now, but I think, I personally think one should be telling the news, you know. I must admit, I'm inclined to tell yesterday's news rather than today's news. And I think that's, I don't know, I think that's because yesterday's news is basically done and dusted, most of it is, whereas today's news you could be, I mean, I wrote a song about Raoul Wallenberg when we all thought that he was alive somewhere in the gulag system in the Soviet Union. And then we discover after the wall came down that he actually was shot in 1947. So that song kind of needs to be looked at again.
Yes, indeed. But makes it into a kind of collector's item, on the other hand. You're listening to The Music Show on RN. I'm talking to Andy Irvine. In the 1960s, you know, Dylan went electric and the Beatles went to India and you went to Slovenia.
I went to Bulgaria and Romania, which is a little bit further east.
Did you know what you were looking for?
Not really, no. I was hit by the same bug that had hit all the youth of Europe, and I just realised that all you needed was a passport and maybe a little bit of money. And I had a little bit more than a little bit of money because I wasn't quite as streetwise as some of the people who were out on the road there. But I went to Bulgaria basically because I'd been a stamp collector as a child and I liked Cyrillic writing, and that was and nobody went there in those days, so that was the reason that
so Irish music sort of changed on your love of Cyrillic writing on stamps from Eastern Europe.
That's more or less it. Yes, I wouldn't say changed, but there was a certain kind of you know, when I got back from Bulgaria and I was saying, hey, listen to this, it's an 1116, people would kind of cross the street to avoid me.
But it wasn't long before they were all doing it.
Some persisted, all right.
You know, the bouzouki, among other instruments from Europe, became Irish instruments, didn't they?
Yes, it did, yeah. Donald Lunny and myself were doing a gig in Greece in the summer, which is particularly to kind of point out the variations of the Greek bouzouki and the Irish bouzouki.
So it's been completely customised now, has it?
Oh, I think so, yeah. It's good. I mean, I think the name Irish bouzouki started in America, but it's my Greek friends who one of whom is a luthier, makes instruments, has started making flatback bouzoukis like the ones we play. And I said kind of slyly, I said, what do you call that? And he looked at me and kind of blushed and said, Irish bouzoukis. So it's even permeated the Greek tradition.
But it's also, it has, I mean, I wasn't joking when I said that it changed Irish music, because there's the song you just did, for instance, I mean, the accompaniment to that would not have existed in the same way were it not for the fact that you were playing a bass bouzouki, and also for the fact that it was you playing it. I mean, it's what you do on that instrument, and there's all sorts of songs, including the one that you're going to do for us in a moment, where the story in the song, and to some extent the vocal line, is almost detached from this kind of intricate tinkling that goes on in the background, and the these two layers that coexist.
Well, thank you. Intricate
trinkler.
When I was kind of getting this music together years ago, I didn't have anybody to play with, and I didn't really trust anybody to play the way I wanted them to play. So I thought, well, in that case, you're just going to have to do it all yourself. So I try and cover as many bases as I can. And I'm always playing a note that I'm not singing, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, the song that you're going to sing, Frank Ryan. Tell us about Frank Ryan.
Well, Frank Ryan was one of not that many socialists in Ireland in the 1930s. In the 1930s, Ireland was very strictly controlled by De Valera as the Taoiseach, the Prime Minister, and very much by the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. like there's another character in the song, Eleanor Duffy, who started a thing called the Blue Shirts, you know, it was kind of like the brown shirts in Germany and the black shirts in Italy. So there was a definite shift towards fascism. And when the Spanish Civil War broke out, Frank Ryan went to Spain to fight for the Republican side. And that's the song I've written about him. And I just, again, as I said earlier, I felt that he was somebody who maybe needed to be brought back into the spotlight of history.
And he has been brought back to Ireland comparatively recently.
Yes, he has. Yes, I think in 1978, 79, he was dug up in Dresden and brought back to Glasnevin, where I sang this song, in fact, at his grave last year.
And you're going to be singing it in Spain, I understand.
Yeah. Well, in a couple of weeks' time, it's the 80th anniversary of the Battle of Jarama, which was the first big battle in the Spanish Civil War. And this song is largely about that battle.
Well, it's been so good to talk to you, Andy Irvine. Thank you very much for coming back to the music show. Thanks for coming back to Australia. You don't have any gigs left, but you do have this album, Precious Heroes, with Luke Plum. And the song that you're about to sing, Frank Ryan, is one of the 12 songs on the album. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Went to fight in Spain, and Frank Ryan from East Limerick, I felt compelled to do the same. So I gathered 80 fighting men to Liverpool, we quietly slipped away, and we came to Albacete from Paris on the secret railway. On the day that we departed, the Irish independence big hero, oh no, Duffy in his blue shirts on the quays of Galway made a holy show. Well, they set their foot on board of a German ship, the swastika she flew. And Cardinal McGrory and the bishop said, our blessings go with you. At the Battle of Jarama, we tried hard the enemy to defeat. But the fascists put our armor, it caused us in confusion to retreat. With their tanks and their mortars and the screaming of their Nazi aeroplanes, their machine guns and their snipers, their bullets fell on us like rain. I hitched my rifle to my shoulder and assembled some of the exhausted men. I saw Jock Cunningham was doing the same, and we joined our forces then. I said, sing up, my lads, and the Internationale it rang out. Men lying by the wayside got up and cheered and fell in with a shout. We went back the way we came, with Jock and I marching at the head, to the singing and the rifle fire and the drumbeat of barbaric lead. And by nightfall we were crawling on our bellies, advancing on the foe. And with joy then we realized we'd regained the ground we lost 10 hours before. But the trail of slaughter that we left behind us caused us a troubled mind. To think of Charlie Donnelly, Kid Conway and all those pals of mine. Well, our sick, dead and wounded amounted to 10,000 men. But we held our position and kept them fascists out again. Summer at Brunete, the fascists, they formed a human shield.
sent women and children out screaming on the battlefield. Such a horrifying sight, a little girl was struck by shrapnel in the head. And our only consolation was we shot all them fascist bastards dead. Oh, the heat was unbearable, the thirst nearly driving us insane. And the bloody German Air Force bombed and strafed us out on the open plain. With their Germans and Italians, the fascist army couldn't be contained. At Belchite in the Ebro, we mounted our offensives, but in vain. I was captured near Gandesa by Italians, and I didn't understand. As the officer commanding, why they did not shoot me out of hand. With their bayonets, they prodded me to make me give the fascist salute. I wouldn't give them the pressure of bringing on myself such disrepute. But at Franco's headquarters in Burgos, the die, it seemed, was cast. I was sentenced to death, thinking every breath would be my last. But for reasons unknown, the firing squad, it never got its chance. I spent 2 hard years in prison before they deported me to France. The treatment meted out to me in Burgos at the hands of Franco's men, well, it ruined my health and I was never quite the same again. In Berlin and Dresden I lived there for 3 years or more. And it broke my heart, but death never allowed me to come home. Frank Ryan died in Stratton and was buried there in 1944. A Republican soldier in the Irish and the Spanish Civil Wars. But 35 years later, Frank finally made it home. And he's buried in Glasnevin under a granite tombstone. So here's to Frank Ryan and all his Irish comrades, to the Connolly Column and all the international brigades, to the brave men and women and all those who fought the fascist tide. You are history, you are legend, and your sacrifice fills my heart with pride. Went to fight in Spain, and Frank Ryan from East Limerick, he felt compelled to do the same.
Andy Irvine singing his song Frank Ryan, and he was playing mandola, and Luke Plum was playing mandolin. And you can hear the song on their new album. It's called Precious Heroes, and it's produced by Luke Plum.